the recording here, and we'll get going. How is everybody? We are on week 14. Can you believe it? I truly can't. But week 14, and we are talking about, we're in the create phase now of this program. So we step back, let go, say yes, tried it on, and now we're creating. And I'm so excited about this, this phase, because this is where, you know, everything we've been exploring, everything we've been evaluating, everything we've been working through, now it's time to bring into being what you long for. And this is where, if we've done the preparation correctly, doors will start opening. You'll start feeling more confident about what you want and your deservedness for it. And you're going to start going out in the world, talking about it, and energetically projecting confidence and courage that it's my time to shine. I am ready. I've done the work. I've looked at what my blocks are. I've looked at my mindset. I've looked at my negative patterns. I'm ready now. I'm ready to go. And, you know, it's interesting. I'm now training this material for other coaches. And we're on week 3 of my certification program. And I was talking to these new coaches about the importance of understanding that this is a journey. This is not a destination. So, you know, often people come to this 16 weeks and they, by the end of it, want to have a completely new career, new job, great boss, you know, and it doesn't happen like that, as we know. There can be amazing progress. There can be, some of you have figured it out. Some of you have a new job. Some of you have created new situations for yourself at work and healed a toxic relationship with your boss and so on. But what I find, you know, even at my age 55 and doing this work day in and day out, it is a journey. What you think you want today changes in 2 years. What you've created for yourself that you thought was perfect in 5 years changes. It's a journey. And when we can embrace that and love it and not be trying to race to the end, because there really is no end, is there? You know, this is life. So I think that's really important to remember and embrace. So I want to jump in and talk about what this week is about, how to make it happen, planning and producing the results that you want. But before that, I want to share something with you that is so perfect, I think, for this week. And I'm really excited to get your really candid feedback. I don't think I mentioned this before, and if I did, just raise your hand and tell me. And again, that you do that via star 2. And before I launch in here, let me just check that no one has submitted a question yet. Oh, I don't see one. Okay. I want to share this with you because I'm unbelievably excited, and it is now going to form the basis of my second book, which I'm working with a really top literary agent on. So this is what I want to share. I don't know if I told you this. Tell me. I went to see Gretchen Rubin speak. I guess it's 2 Fridays ago, and she's talking about her book Better Than Before. I do think I mentioned this to you last week about, she was trying to get to the bottom of why is it that for human beings it's so hard for us to maintain healthy and positive habits, even when they're habits that we love. What gets in the way of us sustaining positive behaviors? So she, you know, is a lawyer and a researcher, and she just dug in. She became obsessed. And in her research, one thing she realized was people have 4 main tendencies in terms of how they deal with outer expectations, what other people expect of them, and inner expectations. And for more about that, read her book Better Than Before. I think it's fantastically interesting. And I did interview her for Forbes, so that's coming out soon. But what it did for me was made me come home and think, wait a minute, is it true, is it possible that there are dominant ways, categories of ways human beings approach action? And what I began to immediately see is that there are. And in fact, upon more research and investigation and thinking and unearthing, you know, the work that I've done with, you know, over 10,000 women over 10 years, six categories truly came flying out. And now I'm in the process of doing a lot of research on it, and I'm building a quiz on it. So hopefully 10,000 people will take that, and it'll inform it. But I want to share it with you now. One, because I feel that when we understand how we typically take action in the world and understand ourselves more deeply, we're going to understand why we think and do what we do in terms of that action plan. And number two, when you understand which of these six reflects your dominant style, I think it will also share. Oh, yeah, now I'm remembering. Last Thursday we did talk about this because I talked about Crusader. And I think it was Lisa Cook who said, yeah, I'm a Crusader. All right, so we did talk about this. Well, let me just say it to you one more time as it has fleshed out. And I would love you all in the next 10 minutes to think about which category you are and to raise your hand and talk to me about it, because I believe that the deeper you understand how you like to take action, the more you're going to know what you need to do both to get what you want out of this program and get to that point. You know, you all filled out the new member packet and you said, this is what I want by the end of this program. You're going to understand better how to do that and also what you need in your career. So again, if I hadn't done this before, let me say the six categories are number one, and I've changed the words a little bit, how they're described. The first is the driver. Methodical approach. They look at the goal. They break it down into digestible bits, and they're driven to the goal. And basically, they're very results-oriented. You know, I think I mentioned I have a client from Uzbekistan who wanted to move his family, to Australia. And he thought he was thinking of a complete change of career. But, you know, it was amazing to watch this fellow in coaching. So different from other people that I've worked with. But what's the goal? Let's break it down and let's do it. And every week he did it. And every week he filled out his session prep form. And he was so results-driven. And he didn't even need 10 sessions. By 7 sessions, he'd figured it all out. He knows where he's going in Australia. He knows he's met with recruiters there. It's unbelievable. He's a driver. And one way to look at it is, again, if you're like a metaphor, if you're driving from, if you decide you want to drive from New York to L.A., and this is the metaphor, he would be the kind of person, or the driver is the kind of person that makes the goal, sets the date, looks at the plan, vets the plan, and just goes, right? The second type is the seeker. The seeker is less motivated by finishing and more about growing and expanding. So there can be some spirituality there. There's an openness, taking your time, believing, you know, that this is all going to be for your growth. It's going to help you learn lessons. So that person may, you know, plan the trip but get waylaid and end up in Colorado and then go to Santa Fe because they met someone else or they wanted, you know, to do something that was going to help them expand. The seeker is motivated by learning and growing. The third is the analyzer. This person has to break down the process and analyze it. Why am I doing it? What's behind it? What is going to happen? So there's research involved and analysis. They don't just get on the path. They have to do the analysis first. The fourth is the pacer. So you want to think of a big turtle, and I don't know if I mentioned this before, but we have these big turtles in Wilton, Connecticut, where I live, and you'll see them cross the street. It'll take 10 minutes for them to cross a narrow road, but your car has to wait for them. You can't go around them. They're massive, one step at a time, but they will do it. They will get to that other side of the road, but it's methodical and often tedious, and you have to move around the turtle, right? The fifth is the skeptic. The skeptic has doubts about everything. Why am I taking this trip? Does it need to be L.A.? Are there better places to go? Is this really the good time? Do I have enough money? Skeptical and needs those questions answered before there's any progress. And finally, I'm changing the word from crusader to champion. The champion is going to look at the goal and is going to push through to that end point, taking, you know, no prisoners, may even leave body parts in the wake. But the champion is also taking the action because he or she is championing something or someone. So I would love it if you all would tell me, and I'm really serious, if you can call, if you can raise your hand, star two, I'd love to talk to you. And if you can send me a message. So let me just share this. I believe that all of us do some of these things. Sometimes we're a pacer. Sometimes we analyze. Sometimes we seek. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your dominant tendency in how you take action and how you bring about change for yourself. So we've got the driver, seeker, analyzer, pacer, skeptic, or champion. So can we flesh this out for about 10 minutes? Because I believe that in the long run, if you understand your style, you're going to know better what you need out of a job and a career. And you're going to know better how to get it in a way that's aligned with your style. So who wants to share with me? Star two. What are you? Which one of these six are you? Can you share? I'm really interested and I'm really hoping. I really feel it's a different way to look at growth. Oh, yay. Let's see what we got. Who do we have here? We have Kim.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I'm happy to see you on Facebook. I love it. Thank you for all
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you.
So which one are you, Kim?
I am a definite researcher-analyzer. I am that person who's going to go to the library and get every single book out that I can find on the subject and keep reading and looking at more stuff. And so I guess my question would be, how do I get beyond that? How do I make myself start to take action and quit researching?
All right. So I love this. This is so helpful. Thank you. So tell me more about what is the researching trying to do for you? What are you trying to figure out when you're doing all this analysis and research?
I think, you know, it's a little bit of just trying to figure out, is this the right fit?
Yeah. Right.
Is this the right, I mean, my history has been, you know, I get really excited about something and I jump all in and I learn everything and then it kind of peters out and I never really follow through and I move on to what I think might be the next big thing that might fit. So I think always sort of a seeking and searching to find that fit and the thing that sparks me.
So this is what I'm beginning to see. And again, this is new for me. So let's work this out. I think that there are upsides and downsides to each of these styles. So I think with the researcher analyzer, the downside is there's analysis paralysis. In a way, you're trying to tell yourself that it's okay to make this leap. But what's lacking is that kind of driver champion. I'm going to, darn it, I've done enough analysis. I'm ready. It's time for me to do this. It's time for me to take action. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I think the phrase, you know, leap in the net will be there has come up a few times in our stuff, and I'm definitely that one who's still standing there going, but is it? And, you know, there's a fear, I guess, you know, that probably keeps me from kind of moving beyond that research to the next step. Mm-hmm.
And do you feel, Kim, that's exactly where you are right now? Do you feel that if...
Absolutely. I mean, I think I feel like I've kind of identified a few different things that I want to move toward. And yeah, I would say right now, I'm not quite ready to make that leap, and that's probably where I need to spend some time is figuring out what that fear is.
So let us do this for 5 minutes because I think it's going to help everyone understand this dominant style thing, but also how it can hold us back. So, you know, in teaching these other coaches, I have a coach, Laura Neff, who looks at my materials and, you know, gives me a heads up if there's a concept I need to clarify. But one thing she pointed out, so many coaches don't want to go deep and look at the past. One, because they're not trained as a therapist. Two, because coaching tends to say, let's look at now and future. I think I'm different because I'm incredibly comfortable looking at the past. And I feel that if you don't look at the past, you don't know who you are. Now, I don't mean we get stuck there. I don't mean we go down the rabbit hole of sitting on a couch every week for 20 years, which I know some people do, Freudian analysis or whatever. I'm not a fan of that. I'm a fan of understanding who you are and how you become who you are, but then shifting what needs to be shifted. So in that vein, Kim, is there anything in your life that has happened that has encouraged you to be an overanalyzer, to be scared to leap? Have you ever made the leap and it went badly? Have you ever had someone in your life, your parents, say, don't do that, that's not secure, don't take the risk? Anything that informs it?
Absolutely. I think even right down to my initial college, my choice of major back in the day was mm-hmm. because it was a smart choice. You know, I had to do what was smart and going to make me successful versus what felt good or might be what I, you know, the path I wanted to follow. That's been a long-term thing.
Where did you get that? Who kind of gave you that message?
That was definitely father.
Father. And what did dad do for a living?
Dad was sort of blue collar, mechanic, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. wanted better. I was that first child mm-hmm. in the family to go to college, so needed to make sure I didn't do the artsy thing and actually went after something where I could succeed, mm-hmm. which I have done,
Yes.
Again, the whole reason I'm in this class is it's not filling me. It's not fulfilling at all. It's success. It's everything that he probably hoped for. Now that he's gone, I have the opportunity to do what I want to do.
Yeah. So I just want to honor this for 1 minute. You know, I've talked all about this. My dad was a GE guy. He never said go into corporate. He never said those words, but that's what he believed. And I found out much later, you know, there's a reason I didn't think about going into music, even though I could have. I was kind of a star in the musical theater, and everyone said, you're going to go to college for music, and I never did. It never came up, even in my mind, because he was a scientist, I think. I'm not blaming him, but I'm just saying we get these messages so deeply. And then, you know, I married a jazz percussionist, and my dad's passed away now, but I found out from my mom, you know, he never really respected music and the arts, my father. And I was my father's girl. So why I bring this up is if you don't, all of us, don't know where the impetus comes for us to think the way we think, we can't change it. So now you know it came from Dad. And the other thing I want everyone to know, our parents, our authority figures, did the best they could. And other generations have other themes. My dad was 92 when he died, went through the war, the depression. What do you think his generation's theme was? Self-actualization? I don't think so, right? It was, my God, it was survive, right? Put food on the table. Do the secure thing. Well, we're not them. We have our generation's, whatever yours is, I'm a boomer. I'm a seeker, you know. I am now a seeker and a champion. So now that we know where that came from, what I would ask you to do is this. Tell me what you're researching and analyzing right now, Kim. What are you looking at for yourself? Let's see if I can.
I am a vice president of development in a nonprofit, a very large national nonprofit.
Yep.
And I've been researching, kind of going out on my own, whether in the consulting, either the consulting realm or more just, writing content and, nonprofit specialist sort of realm, definitely wanting to tap into my skills as a writer, which I've mm-hmm. also gone back to school for, looking at, something a little bit more entrepreneurial and that's, a little bit more my own that I can kind of, the niche that I've sort of developed in the nonprofit space has been kind of coming in, getting things back on track, fixing things, and then I noticeably even kind of get bored and I'm ready for the next big challenge. Mm-hmm. So kind of taking that and making it something that is mine and not where I tend to stay with another organization until I do get bored and move on. So that's sort of the thing that I've been feeling out. And I know a good chunk of mine is financial, but I need to read the energy of money. I know that for sure.
Do you mind telling me basically the range of what you make, Kim? Do you mind?
I actually make a very good living for somebody who works in the nonprofit space. I'm above 100,000, so
okay.
That's where it's a little difficult.
I see. What is your biggest fear about doing what you just said? What is the fear?
I think just that, the financial part of it, of walking away from my salary until I'm able to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, knowing the researcher analyzer doesn't feel comfortable taking the leap. It's very hard for your system, whereas the champion or the seeker could. Let me ask you this. Are you able to do side work and still be full-time employed? Would they allow that?
You know, doing it in the same space might be a little funky, but I think that there's enough opportunity for, you know, something outside of, you know, I'm in the healthcare nonprofit mm-hmm. space, so I think if I looked at doing something in the art space, which is, I've done in the background, or in my background, mm-hmm. I don't know that they could say much about that.
I mean, would they mind you being a consultant for other organizations?
I think initially they would if they were aware, yes, and that there's the expectation that any time that I'm spending helping a nonprofit fundraiser grow should be for the one that I'm employed with. But
so here's what I'm thinking. For folks like you, this is so helpful to me. I can't believe I never even came up with this before. I love it. It's going to upset your system too much to take the leap. It is. You need evidence that you're going to be able to make this work. So mm-hmm. what I would want to throw out to you is, could you commit to doing this in a small way, finding one client that pays you $2,000 a month or $4,000 or whatever you want, where you are in the arts world, nonprofit, where you're leveraging your nonprofit experience, but you're doing it in a microcosm way. You've got a client, you're meeting deadlines, you're delivering content or programs, whatever, but you haven't left your full-time job. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what I need to do is commit in that small way, you know, start by making myself that expert on LinkedIn, you know, like we've talked about, and putting myself out there.
Mm-hmm. Now, how would you want to deal with your company? So let me tell you what comes to mind. I'm guessing the researcher analyzer is data-driven and kind of black and white. And that means for you, is that right? Wow.
Oh, yes.
Right. So if you are, that means that your integrity is going to be rocked for you to do this on the sly, on the side, when you don't think your company is going to dig it. I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah.
What if you went in there to the head of HR or your boss and said, okay, here's the deal. How long have you been where you are? How long have you been at this nonprofit?
I've been at this one for 4 years.
4 years. What if you said, you know, I'm committed. There's so many pieces I like of this work, but as you know, there's some things that aren't a great fit. I'm making it up, Kim. You know, you're going to use the right words, but I am longing to support the art world. And what I have a chance to work with a client on the side to support their whatever nonprofit in the arts, and I would really love the chance to do that. Would you be okay with that? What do you think? What would they say?
You know, I think that that's possible. I also still volunteer a couple of weeks of my year for a disabled veterans sports clinic mm-hmm. that I've done for nearly 20 years, and they've always mm-hmm. been super supportive of the time that I spend there.
Wow.
So I don't think it would be any different, or at least I could couch it so that it's not any different.
Beautiful. Kim, I think this is a perfect way to do it. First of all, it's going to let you try it on. Some people hate being consultants. They think they would love it, but then the reality of it every day, they miss certain aspects of being part of a regular team. You know, it sounds wonderful, but some people don't like it. I love it. Come in, scoot in, see what the issue is, and scoot back out, you know, and then do something else. But this allows you to try it on, feel it, live the professional identity of it, then start building some clout, some momentum, some connections in this other world so that, you know, within a year you will have done it, you maybe have three clients, and you understand what that life is like. What do you think?
Great, great. No, that feels good.
Okay, good. All right, let's keep us posted. Thank you. So helpful. Thank you so much. All right, anybody else? I'm really interested in hearing from you. Star 2, what are you? Yay, Jackson, Mississippi. Hey.
Hey, Kathy, this is Sarah. Can you hear me?
Yes, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much. I just wanted to say that I'm definitely a seeker, followed by an analyzer. And
wait, say that again. You're a seeker and a little analyzer or not?
Yeah, I am a seeker, followed by an analyzer.
Followed by an analyzer. Oh, that's an interesting combination. What makes you say you're a seeker?
I do really enjoy learning for learning's sake, making connections between things. Hey, this person over here is doing this, and they're in this field. That person over there is doing that. Have you two thought about this? I think my, you know, in that sense, my perfect position job would be, I mean, somebody who's I'm not saying that I really want to go into journalism, but the idea of always interviewing people, always learning about something, immersing yourself, and then moving on.
Oh, wow. And then you think you have a little bit of analyzer in you. Tell me about that.
Oh, my fiance always tries to guess what I'm researching on the computer after we've watched something.
Wow.
So I'm always wanting to learn more and find out more. And it's just a kind of insatiable need in terms of, like, actually the last, you know, several years as far as being very cautious just because of everything I've gone through. That's just a different part of that, and, you know, analyzer, which can be, you know, paralyzing a little bit.
That's it. So tell me, you know, now that we're in week 14 here, what can I help you do? Where are you now? And where can this information about being a seeker and an analyzer and what you like to do, how can we really pull it together and get you where you want to be?
Oh, goodness. That's a good question, because I was, you know, thinking about talking today, and I was thinking that where I am, just, you know, I am definitely one of these people that have gotten so much out of this course, almost that I have to still absorb, you know, and I may have to take it again or you know, just revisit certain things. But where I am today, I just is, you know, still needing to do some additional work. I did have my interview with the digital apprentice and did all of, you know, looked at everything I would have learned from that, and who would have gotten more benefit. It was definitely them. So that was one of those things that I wanted to, that's my insatiable need. Like, I just am really interested in it, but did I have a clear path of where it was going to take me? No. And would it have hurt me just because of the way it was structured? I mean, it was such a long time without, you know, a real income. But anyway, so I was listening, you know, to the week 14 video about, you know, SMART, measurable, actual goals, which, by the way, I actually first encountered that like a year ago. So
really?
In terms of my,
so many people have heard it, you know, in their past, but I don't think often we don't apply it, you know. What does that really, really mean for me, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I have, you know, tended to just have, when I hear, in other words, when I read about, when I listen to somebody's biography, and, you know, different people who are accomplished in all different ways of life, you know, the people that I resonate with are the ones that had things that were put in their path and they went with it, versus the ones who knew at age 9 what they wanted to do. So that is just sort of how I live my life. I realize that I need to now, you know, okay, well, what would happen if I said that this is the time that I'm going to do this, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to hold myself to that. So, you know, anyway, I don't know if I'm making any sense. I just wanted to tell you that I'm a seeker and, and an analyzer.
So thank you for that. So tell me how I can help move you forward. What's the one question you're grappling with most about, oh, what do I do here?
Well, in terms of the, you know, identify 30 companies and
yeah.
all of that, I do need help with that in the sense that I don't know exactly where to start if I'm thinking about in my local area, because number one, we're just a smaller market.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that's a little, I feel like I have to do some real digging there, and I've just gotten to a place in terms of not even, you know, being so scared of it, just to say, hey, okay, I'm going to go forward with the knowledge that there is something. That is my normal way of operating. I just haven't operated that way in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years.
So the word, you know, I listen, Sarah, I listen to language, right? So
yes,
you said
yes.
I'm scared.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're scared, often the fears we have aren't necessarily rationally connected
mm-hmm.
to the thing we think. But
mm-hmm.
but going out and perhaps identifying some companies and interviewing, maybe that in and of itself isn't the scary thing, but there's something that it represents that makes you really scared.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be?
Yes.
What do you think it is? What do you think you're most scared about then?
I honestly, it comes back down to what skill do I have that somebody really wants in a deep expert type of way.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm a generalist, and again, this is the bad part of knowing the backside of employment, you know. And I'm trying to look at other ways to look at that, and I did do the William Aruda thing, and I've gotten some information there. So,
are you on LinkedIn right now, Sarah? Can I go look at you?
Yes, you can. And I haven't done my thing yet.
Okay. So where would I phone? Here you are. Recruitment manager, yeah?
Yes. Uh-huh.
You haven't done what thing?
I mean, I haven't done as much as I need to on my profile. It still has recruitment manager.
So you're worried that you do not have specialization. You don't have the skills. So tell me what skills you think you don't have. And what you're going for?
I feel like I don't have a business background in terms of education. I was a liberal arts major, so that is something that I feel like I, you know, somebody may want that I don't have.
What kind of companies are you looking for going forward?
I don't even know. Right? Quite honestly, I mean.
Do you want to get out of recruitment entirely?
Yes, I do. It just as a lifestyle. I mean, the level of amount of time in terms of there really is no doubt. You know, you could always be. You could take time off and have it scheduled, and then some deal that you didn't know was going to be happening when you took that time off is now moving forward, and guess what? You know, there is no downtime, and that's just, I need that. I really do. I need it.
So let me ask you this. Before mm-hmm. you can answer, do I have the skills they want, you have to know what direction you want to go in.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, when I look at the skills I have, and I have a lot of experience, let's say being a digital marketer, would anyone
mm-hmm.
hire me to do their digital marketing? For some pieces, but for others, absolutely not. Like, I got my Facebook ad account got shut down because of something I did, and we still don't even know why. We're trying to get to the bottom of it. Do I have
mm-hmm.
those skills? No. But do I have
mm-hmm.
other skills? Yeah. So before you can even say, I don't have enough experience or skills, it's really important for you to know, what do I want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an idea of that?
This is where I get scared of, you know, I mean, I have taught myself out of multiple things. When I was finished with all of my breast cancer treatment and all of that, I mean, I really did have a desire to want to, you know, help people who were going through that. I mean, maybe medical social work or something like that. And I did my research. I looked at everything again. This was before the Health Care Act had passed, so, you know, I could not do it. I mean, I looked at a school that I could have done it remotely, which was a good school in California, one of the UC campuses that had a very good medical social worker program, and they didn't even have a student health care, you know, like a health care insurance program. And I also so that was then, and there was another thing that was related to occupational therapy here that had a good program, same issue. And
you needing certain kind of insurance?
Yes.
Exactly. That's the fear. That's the fear, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, because it was a real, you know, I mean, it's been proven that people who, you know, women who don't have health insurance, I mean, this is when I was going through it, you know, who don't have health insurance, who have breast cancer, all types of cancer patients, I mean, you just die. I mean, you will die sooner. You know? So it is truly like a life and death thing.
So
you know?
Let me ask, here's what comes to my mind. Medical social work. Do you have enough of an idea if that is really what you'd want to do for a living? Have you tried it on? Have you interviewed people? Because we have these ideas that this would be great. As you know, I've said it a million times. I would love to be a therapist, but then I lived it and it was really not me. Hard.
Yes.
Do you feel like you really know that that's what you want?
No, I don't. I mean, having, you know, gone through this class, I definitely realize that I don't know that. These are just things that I was investigating. And it all comes down to those things is just being helpful, being able to truly tell somebody, hey, this is what you really need to do, not because it's going to benefit me, or my business or my client, but because that you as a human being, this is, you know, what you need to think about.
So, Sarah, this is what I would tell you. You've got the process a little backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You can't possibly answer the question, do I have the right skills, till you know what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, medical social work doesn't need you to know business. So, but your fear, and we talked, I'm looking back at our notes, your fear and what you've been through, it's traumatic. And it's keeping you from doing the research that's going to allow you to identify three directions that you literally would want to try on. You have to do that. So, of course, you don't know 30 companies because you don't know what you want to do.
Yeah.
So I would ask this. I know that you're afraid. I feel that. But yet I have seen, you know, I have a woman I wrote about in my book. Finish the sentence, Kathy. I've seen people who have nothing build an amazing career for themselves. So a woman that I interviewed, her real name is Anne, in my book, she was in an abusive marriage and hadn't worked in 20 years, and she wanted to leave this marriage, and she wanted to be independent, and she had nothing. And this was a lot of years ago, but and what happened was she happened to sit in on a focus group. She got asked to be in a focus group. She fell in love with it. She said, I don't know what I can do for you, but can I just volunteer? Can I lick stamps? She came in, you know, as the lowest level administrative assistant. Then she started to learn. Then she assisted with a focus group. Then she ran a focus group. Then she was the most requested moderator in the entire focus group company. She worked there for 5 years, and then she got out, and she became a market researcher, and she made, you know, she had $1 million in the bank after, you know, 7 years. And she had cancer. She's lost both breasts. But when you're making $1 million, you can pay for your own insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You can do anything, but you can't do it if you can't get out of the starting gate.
Mm-hmm.
So let's break it down. Specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. Your goal, Sarah, is to use your seeker analyzer skills and determine three directions you would be excited to pursue. Don't cut yourself off at the knees that I need insurance. It's too soon for that. We know you need insurance. That's the form of what you want. You have to figure out the essence of it. If you try to go for the form, you know, what job, what company, what boss, without knowing the essence, you're never going to get there.
Okay. That makes sense.
Do I make sense? Now, do you know how to go
absolutely.
Do this?
I'm not exactly, but I'm in a better place than I was before. So.
Okay. So what you're going to do is stay in this company for a short period of time while you figure this out. So go back to your career path assessment. What are the things you loved? You know, when you mentioned recruiting, you know what you said you didn't like? The schedule.
Mm-hmm.
That's not enough to know. I want to know, do you love any of the skills you use in recruiting? Could you be in HR where you're not doing recruiting, you're doing some other aspect? You're working for a company, you're doing internal recruitment, but it's not crazy like, you know. So you need to figure out what are the things that I have always loved to do and what are the pieces that I want to let go of. Start there. Does that help?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank
Don't get
you.
Discouraged. You're going to get there. You're going to get there.
Okay.
All
thank
right.
You.
Thank you. All right. Who else wants to share? I really, really want to do more talking with you in these next 3 weeks because I want, if you're stuck, I want to help move you forward. I want to help you understand why you're stuck. And then get going. So who else has questions? Star 2. Let me see if I have any questions. Ah, there you are, Sarah. Thank you for that. Analyzer, seeker, driver. So fascinating. I love it. All right. One more person. I know some of you are stuck. I know you feel like I know some things that I didn't know before, but I'm still stuck. Tell me. I'm going to wait for one more person. Who can I help? Because it's, there we go. Awesome. I really appreciate it. All right, Denver, who's this?
This is Lacey.
Hi, Lacey.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm good.
All right, Lacey, so which one are you here?
Well, I am for sure a seeker.
Seeker.
And probably a little bit of a skeptic.
Oh, a seeker with skeptic. Tell me more. Why do you think you're a seeker?
Well, because my entire life I've always been very interested in the intellectual side of a vast array of subjects. So I'm constantly trying to learn about new things and I'm very motivated by that. And I love to be constantly learning and growing. And I'm in a field that I mean, I've been in the water industry for 25 years as a non-technical person. Mm. So my background is in economics and liberal arts, and I've been surrounded by engineers for decades. My husband and I have our own business, and what I am wanting to do is to branch out on my own and take my own skills to develop a career path that is more independent and away from the business that we currently have. And so my challenge really has been how to get clear on what it is I want to do. And I keep trying to formulate this elevator speech, and I am definitely not there yet. I definitely do not have it clear in my mind what it is I want to do.
So let's evoke the skeptic for a minute. And let's let that skeptic's voice out. Let it ring out. What is the skeptic saying?
The skeptic is saying that because I do not have the technical skills to understand how, you know, the water, the hydrologic cycle, or the engineering components of the various technologies that people want to apply, or the, you know, chemical components of the various treatment methods that, you know, because I don't have a technical background that I'm not in a position to be an expert to talk to people about, you know, things in the water industry. And so I'm often intimidated, you know, I'm intimidated to speak up because I don't have that background.
So you want to move away from this business that you've created. So do you want it still to be in the water industry?
You know, I am very interested in the water industry just because I've been involved in it. But I'm much more moving toward the education and communication components in it. What I've been doing the last 2 years to try to move in that direction in your try it on phase framework is that I have volunteered to edit, and now I publish this magazine that is a water magazine.
Hmm.
So I have been learning about how to write and, you know, get my material and content in front of people. And I've gotten a lot of really positive feedback on that. People are loving my writing, but I have not got a clue how to make money at that. So I'm doing all these things for free, and but I'm not making any money. So I'm putting this all together in my mind, but not able to leverage that yet into something that, you know, people will pay me for. They're
right,
always
so
willing to take this for free.
All right, so let me go back a minute. And I think this is the same problem as Sarah's. First you said, well, there's other problem issues. First you said, the skeptic says, I don't have technical skills, you know, in this whole water treatment piece. So I'm not in a position to be an expert. You don't want to be in a position to be an expert of that. You don't want that. Why the hell does it matter if you have technical skills in that?
To be able to communicate with people who do. So if I'm trying to bridge the gap between...
Have you done that before? Have you bridged in your business now? Do you bridge that gap?
I do. And I've done technology transfer projects, which is all about that. So what you're trying to do in that world is you're trying to take these technologies that, you know, these brilliant scientists and engineers have come up with, and you're trying to get them into the hands of companies that can use them. And so you're trying to bridge the technologists with the market people,
right.
You know, take the how and put it into customer benefits.
So let me just ask this, and I know the answer. You know, I used to be a marketing copywriter in science books and journals. I wrote about stuff I had never heard of and did not understand technically, but I could write it about it brilliantly because I'm a good writer and I get things and I'm smart. And they didn't want the technical author to write the copy. They wanted a great communicator to write the copy. And I would look at this on spectroscopy and, you know, intensely technical medical and chemical and, you know, scientific stuff, and I'd write great copy. So here's what I'm saying to you. Your job, what you want, is not the technical piece. You want to be the conduit. You want to write about it. You want to speak about it. But let the experts who've developed the technical processes, let them do that. I think your skeptic is beating you up for something that you don't have that, in fact, you don't need and you don't want. Is this right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's hilarious to hear you say it.
It's really crazy. So your second issue is that you don't know how to monetize what you love to do. So don't let the skeptics say, see, you stink. You don't really know what the hell you're doing. Excuse my language. Let the skeptic rest. I got you, skeptic. We're gonna deal with all your challenges. You know, we don't ever suppress. Suppress tries to push things down under the surface, and that never works. But if you want to be in education or communication, and you want to edit, and you want to publish, and you want to write, you sounds like you got an awesome amount of skill for that. Now, the question is how to make money. So how much money do you have to make, Lacey?
You know, I don't have to make that much. I haven't been making that much the last 3 or 4 years.
What is it, 50, 20, 70? What is
I've been making only about, let's see, last year I made about 75.
Okay.
So that's, now, to me, a minimum. Really.
And is there anything about leaving this business with your husband that makes the skeptic nervous?
Yeah, because, you know, I'm a critical component in the ongoing business that we have.
How does your husband feel about you wanting to do that?
He is alternatively supportive and, you know, has no idea what he would do when, you know, if I moved on.
So I think the skeptic is also very worried about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is your marriage.
Right.
So I think before you're going to have the freedom to pursue anything, you got to get clearer about this.
Right.
What's it going to mean? What's it going to do to our marriage? What's it going to do to him? You know, you're not just leaving an employer. You're leaving a family business.
Right.
And I think your skeptic's probably pretty worried about that. Does that sound right?
Yeah, sure. And getting clear about what I'm doing is, you know, I'm struggling with that to, you know, say, all right, here is, and again, he's the engineer brain, so in order to communicate effectively with him, I'm struggling to say, okay, here's my plan,
right,
like that.
So what happens here is, the skeptic, the analyzer, you know, all these voices in us, and you can all also even call it an inner gremlin, who says, what the heck are you thinking? That's ridiculous. Just stay put. you don't just suppress these voices. You have to take steps that satisfy these voices. So what I would ask you is, I'm not even 100% sure you want to stay in the water industry. Are you?
You know, I'm not. I think it's cool. I've been in it a long time, but when I think about moving on to other things, I feel really excited about kind of moving to something new, but I don't know if that's because I'm the seeker, too, that's always willing to try new things. So I'm, you know, I'm like, oh, that sounds good. Let's do that. Right to move forward? Huh?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Do you have time in your life to take on something on the side?
Well, I already have. I mean, I've been trying these things on for quite a while. I really, you know, I would have to stop some other things that I'm doing, but, you know.
So if I said, all right, it's time now. You got to take some action. Do you feel you've investigated enough and let yourself, given yourself license to look out of the water industry to know three directions you would like to, you know, in a pacer way, slowly, methodically test? Do you have three directions?
Well, I'm kind of doing a couple things now. It's in the water industry. For example, I had a meeting last week at the Metropolitan State University. I'm totally interested in higher ed and K through 12. I love the education idea. And working at a university type setting, I think would be awesome. And so last week I had a meeting with the director of there's a water center at our Metro State University here in Denver, and I had a meeting with him, which was great. And what we talked about was putting together a video about water targeted to the millennial generation. And I just thought it sounded like
amazing.
Yeah.
So now, all right. So, you know, I'm mindful that other people probably have questions and I have to tackle some other things.
Yeah.
What I'd love you to do is love and embrace the skeptic and then ask it to sit on the side for a while. And don't worry, skeptic, we're going to answer your questions, but right now I got to get the doer, the driver going here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So one of these issues is stop doing this stuff for free. you know, I want to tell you, when you're aligned, it's literally as simple as that. You know, I used to make when I first started out, I made $250 a workshop. Then I made $500. Then I said, you know what, I want $1,000. Then $1,000, I said, you know what, there's enough value in these, I'm asking for $5,000. Then a year ago, I said, I'm ready, it's $10,000. And can you believe I've got three $10,000 talks lined up, coming to me. It's simply that simple, but it's not easy. You have to shift so that you know that what you're doing is worth money, and then you ask for the money. So ask for a budget. You know, it's going to do the research on what it's going to cost. That's going to cost $20,000 to do a video. My portion will be $7,000. Ask. Don't do this stuff for free anymore.
Awesome.
All right?
Yeah.
Do you have
yeah.
enough to chew on here?
Of course. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. I so appreciate it. Keep us posted.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So I know it's 2 minutes, folks, before the end, but I came a little late. So what I want to do is talk to you a little bit about, you know, give you a little bit of the slide content here. And I want you to know, when you're listening to what other people are going through, think about yourself. What is Lacey going through? What is Sarah going through that's similar to my journey? And what is Kathy sharing? And what is their discussion unfolding? And how can it relate to me? Don't just think, oh, this is what someone else is going through. It doesn't relate. Everybody on this call is supposed to learn from something that we would just discuss. That's how it works. So we are in the create phase, right? Planning and producing. The key takeaway here is dreaming is not doing. You have to take the right kind of action if you want amazing results. And you also have to do it in the right order. So what we've uncovered today is to think about, I don't have the right skills, when you don't even know what direction you're going to, is just cutting yourself off at the knees. It's just keeping you stuck, right? So what you want, a few critical things here. Don't metaphysical. Don't just sit and think about it. It's time to get out there and start shifting what you're doing. I mean, in these conversations, you hear me saying, don't do it like that. Do it differently from how you habitually do it. If you always do something and you never ask for money, start asking for money. Because then you become more powerful energetically when you stop doing the stuff you habitually do, right? Perseverance is critical, right? And if you don't seem to want to move forward, break it down even further into tiny steps that don't scare you. We talked about specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, timely. Make goals. 3 months from now, 6 months, 1 year to 3 years, and 5 years from now, where do I want to be? And if you truly cannot answer that, go back and watch a few of the videos. Look at your career path assessment. Start to do things differently. I just want to leave you with this, 7 core steps for capitalizing on new opportunities. First, you have to assess your current state. You really have to understand what is holding you back. Is it fear? Is it skepticism? Is it fantasy? Is it, I don't know, I just know I want out of recruiting, but I don't really know what. You've got to now start knowing more than that. And it's all there. Go back and read your career path assessment. You have to start understanding the best direction. So let's all be a pacer if you want to be like that turtle. Just take a step forward to understand and dimensionalize what is a direction you could explore. You don't have to turn your whole life upside down. Just explore a small change, right? The third is analyze the help you need, and I want to tell you this. You know, I have a gift for meeting with someone one-on-one and seeing exactly where you're stuck. It's just one of my gifts. So don't forget, you all have a 20% discount on all of my 4 private programs. That's the 1-hour consultation, the 4-session jumpstart your career change, the 10-session career breakthrough, and the 6-month career mastery. 20% off, you get that for life. I would say, however, my calendar is not always open. So if you want help, jump on it now, because I have a 2-month window now where I'm a little more open because I'm at the end of this course and at the beginning of the certification, so I have some time. Jump on it, 20%. The code, the coupon code is ACP20-2015. All right? Get some help. Get some help. Or find it in another way. Get a coaching buddy. Get a mentor. Get a mentor in the water industry who isn't the technical guru. You got enough of that. You know, find someone who's a communication expert in the water industry and learn and follow them and ask them for help. Talk about your goals to everybody you meet. You won't believe when you start saying it, like, my fee is $10,000 now to speak. Oh, okay. And now people are sharing that, and that's what I'm getting. That's how it works. And you have to understand what you're gifted at. You know, if the skeptic is telling you, I'm not gifted, I'm not talented, you're not going to move off your chair. All right, everyone, I hope that was helpful. Watch this video again and choose the one probably nervous-making step, fear-inducing step that you definitely need to take if you want to move forward. I hope this was helpful, my friends. Thank you so much. Can't wait for next week. Have a wonderful week, and I will speak to you soon. All righty. Bye-bye now.
The moderator has left the conference.